Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this congregation. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for his giving us the hope of salvation. And we thank you for your word. We know how powerful your word is, how it applies to our lives. And we ask that you would be with us as we study these two Psalms today. Help us to be encouraged by it and to learn something that we can do this week to grow closer to you, to learn more about your nature, but also to spread your kingdom throughout the neighborhood and throughout the world. Finally, Father, we pray that if anything good comes from this lesson, may it only be to your glory and your honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I am going to have us read them together. Like it's 42 and 43 as if they're one psalm, because the rhythm includes both psalms. And can I get a volunteer to read? Let's do it like maybe five verses at a time. Noah?
First five verses, Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the stream of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God.
You want to volunteer for the second?
Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. By day, Yahweh will command his loving kindness, and by night, his song will be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God?
Let me go ahead and read those.
Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Wait for God, for I shall still praise him, the Savior of my presence and my God.
And yeah, volunteer for Psalm 43, Matt 10.
43. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation, my God.
Good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, I don't know who wrote this, but it sort of follows the Psalms from the previous book, which were written by David, and he wrote them being in flight from Saul, in hiding and in all sorts of danger. I think this sort of summarizes a lot of them. But what's the story here? What do you see in these two psalms?
Someone discouraged.
Very, very discouraged. He's in the midst of sorrow. He's in the midst of oppression. And what do his friends do for him? They discourage him. Who's your God? Especially in verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night while people say to me all day long, where is your God? And his response is, gee, you know, I used to go to worship God. In verse 4, NIV, it reads, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One. Do you have any idea who the Mighty One is? In my translation, it has a note saying the meaning of this is uncertain. But I think it's God. I mean, he's under the protection of, or someone great, like maybe Samuel, maybe Tim.
I'm looking at verse 4 and in context of the other verses, it seems like he's feeling alone right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking back. I remember when I used to go with the throng,
mm-hmm.
but not alone, with a lot of people, and lead them in procession. This is how the ESV reads, lead them in procession to the house of God,
mm-hmm.
with glad shouts and songs of praise, keeping a multitude to keep in festival. So he's looking back at a time when they would all go
right.
and praise God. And he's looking for God. I think he's been abandoned by the people. He's also feeling abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat, you know, why have you forsaken me kinds of thoughts because of the suffering and hardship that he's going through. He's in this moment sending his mind back to
right.
longing for God.
And how many times in David's life did that happen? In flight from Saul. Why? Because Saul was jealous. And then he was in flight from the Philistines and fighting them. And then finally he was in flight from his son when Absalom decided to dethrone him. And, it's quite a life that he led. But he continues to worship, and he continues to have faith. And those two things are what sustain him, his worship and his faith. And I think in Psalm 42:4, I also think of Ecclesiastes 12:1, where he says, remember the Lord in your youth. How important it is to have good habits as a youth in terms of good worship habits, good study habits. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. You don't want that to happen. You need to be prepared. You need to have good habits for that. I sort of see in verses 1 and 2, it's a thirsty animal, and he compares that to having a thirsty soul. And it kind of reminds me of Matthew 5 and 6. It's part of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And you can think of other examples of that too. And then in Psalm 42, verse 3, when people just tell him, where is your God? What a question. I mean, he's looking for encouragement and they're discouraging. Who does that remember? Go ahead, Noah.
What I was going to say is that this whole thing reminds me of an inner dialogue,
mm-hmm.
that more so than outward,
mm-hmm.
just talking to people. And it almost puts me in mind of what happens to me when I'm just before I lay down to go to sleep, and all these thoughts are just, you know, why is my life the way it is?
Mm-hmm.
And how did it, you know, and there's all these things that are going on inside my head. And that's what this really reminds me of.
Yeah.
And he's trying to sort through it and deal with it.
That's right. And then it also reminds me of Job's so-called friends. You know, he's looking for sustenance, and they say, "Oh, you're terrible. You must have sinned. You're in trouble. It means you're not doing the right thing. So where is your God?" What a question to ask for someone who's lonely, for someone who's, you need to build that person up. And then another picture I see here is the stronghold. Someone has said that most of the Psalms are either talking about the pathway to the stronghold or the stronghold. And I think the best example of that is in Psalm 43, the first two verses. "Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy?" And I think those are kind of negative questions. He hasn't been rejected. He's being pursued, but Don?
Yeah, I mean, this passage speaks to all humanity. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes when we are depressed, and for those who have clinical depression, they go through that who are believers. When we are struggling in our faith, that often happens. And the question is, where is God in those moments? And sometimes those you interact, it can almost seem that way, because for a person who is quote-unquote a faithful person who finds him or herself in that point, it always speaks to the level of spiritual, so to speak. But when we look at David, we look at, as you mentioned, Job, it speaks to just our humanity and where we can find ourselves. You think about the prophet who was running away after he was on a high. He was finally, he was in that place, running the desert, wanting God to take his life, because mm-hmm. at that point he was at the lowest moment in his life. So we find in our humanity, when we are, even though we are Christians, even though we are faithful, there are points in time when that happens and we begin to question. And you said negative questions, yes. We may look at it as negative questions, but those are questions that we pose in our minds that can sometimes get us back to where we need to be. Mm-hmm. Or it can also, the devil can also use it to take us further away. Mm-hmm. Okay. But those are experiences that we can have. And mm-hmm. again, the writer, as we look at this, for each of us, we have to say, in moments like that, we can learn and we can know that mm-hmm. while it seems like God is far away, mm-hmm. God is really not.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, we just have to find.
Right. I don't think it's wrong to question what's going on, but to use that doubt to build up your faith is something that can strengthen you.
And in connection to that, Asaph, right? Mm-hmm. He was himself. It was in Psalm 70, he found himself in a similar predicament. Mm-hmm. But he says, "I remember mm-hmm. when I went to the temple, I remember."
Right.
So in moments when we are, that happens, it takes us remembering past moments when we worship with the saints and how beautiful it was, mm-hmm. To bring us back.
Right.
Right? So that's humanity.
Good point. Michelle?
Yes, I just want to share, from a personal experience, because this verse of scripture, Psalms 43, "Why art thou downcast, O my soul? it really speaks to me because I've had periods of depression in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And because God's word is so real and shows the humanity of the people in it, it doesn't hide anything from us. It shows their flaws and their weaknesses. So we don't feel alone in the struggle because these people have gone through what we've been
mm-hmm.
through before. Because I suffered, but you could call it postpartum depression, after
mm-hmm.
I had all my children.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was like this psalm, why art thou downcast, O my soul? This is supposed to be the happiest time in my life.
Yes.
I just had kids. And here am I depressed. I don't know. My husband and I always wanted a girl, and every time it's a boy. So I don't know if that led to me feeling like a failure or whatever it was. But there I was depressed, ended up in the hospital because, you know, I'm depressed and this is supposed to be a joyous occasion in my life. So
mm-hmm.
this psalm had really spoke to me, you know, reading it. Why are you sad? Why are you
right.
depressed in this situation? And help me to
right.
kind of recover. So.
I think two things help sustain the writer in these cases, that is going back to worship
yeah.
and also building his faith in spite of his questions and doubts. Lee?
A couple things. I kind of got a different twist on this. And I open myself up for correction from the entire audience group. First of all, the Sons of Korah wrote this,
mm-hmm.
but I understand. I'm
mm-hmm.
not saying I know these things. Second of all, his problem seems to be, and I get it from verse 4, he remembers walking amongst the people going to the temple, kind of like the good old days.
Mm-hmm.
If you go down to verse 6, he's discouraged, but I will remember you from distant Mount Hermon. It seems that he doesn't have the opportunity now to walk to the temple. He's far away.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons he's discouraged. Okay, so that's kind of what I got, that he's discouraged because he can no longer go to the house of the Lord with the people, and period.
Right.
Okay, that seems to be the idea that I got.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point. What is Hermon? Anybody? Is it north of Jerusalem? It's, I think that's kind of near the source of the Jordan River.
Yes.
And it's it's the tallest mountain in Israel. As opposed to Mount Mizar, which I think Mizar means the low hill, the smaller hill. But these are all the headwaters of Jordan, and it all comes to the Sea of Galilee and then into the Jordan River. Yep.
So then is he saying he's not in those physical places, but just I remember you from here to here? Like,
right. Mm-hmm. From the highs and the lows. Now, the reason I read both these psalms together is because of this verse that keeps being repeated. It's in Psalm 42, verse 5, also verse 11, and in Psalm 43, verse 5. See that in the NIV it reads, "Why, my soul, are you cast down? Excuse me. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." And then in Psalm 42, verse 11, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Savior and my God." And finally in 43, verse 5, exact same words, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." And do you see how that cycle flows? At first he's panting, thirsty, being pursued like a deer, apparently having no food, his food or his tears. But then he comes to this and says, put his hope in God, even though he's downcast. Put his hope in God. He's going to praise him. And he realizes that God is his Savior. So, madam?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
The image from verse 1 just like really sticks out to me too, because the author is like in such despair, but their soul is longing for God.
Mm-hmm.
Despite this, you know, feeling of depression or desperation, like, they know where their focus is supposed to be, mm-hmm. and then with these repeated voices, like reminding themselves, like, why are you in despair? We will praise God once more, you know? I think that's a sobering thought for myself when, like, I'm in a situation where I am, like, feeling down. Is my soul, like, longing for God? You know, it's a good thing to be asking ourselves, like, where are we in those places and where should we be?
Yeah, I mean, going off of that, I mean, I think these two psalms together really strike me as essentially wanting to be in heaven, right? Wanting to be in a perfect spot,
mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's just not that time yet, and
mm-hmm.
so you know, just the process of getting there is, you know, can be filled with quite a lot of sadness, as we're seeing here,
mm-hmm.
just for these different reasons. Just whatever inside going on that causes someone to be sad or depressed, or, you know, just people, you know, giving you a hard time, you know, questioning you and, you know, denouncing your faith. You know, these are just the things that part of what causes sadness and the part of the sadness that we experience en route to the promised land being with God.
Mm-hmm. Good point. So. It's all about the timing, but at the same time, starting early and having regular worship and study habits and doing that as a young person helps support it when you're older and troublesome times come about. Yes, Tim?
I think this repeated phrase or question of why are you cast down on my soul? That's like a rhetorical question. It's an exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever stopped, like, when you're feeling really down, really bad? Okay, why am I feeling like this? And just take an inventory. Think, okay, I've got some financial things. I just don't know, you know what? I'm going to trust in God about that.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's this issue over here that's really been, like, what can I do about that? But if I trust in God, if I obey Him, if I do what He tells me to do, I trust that things are going to turn out okay. Maybe worry about this thing, but you know what? In the end, whether this thing I'm worried about goes well or not, I have salvation in Jesus, so that doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
And like taking that mental inventory, thinking through, and to Meredith's point that I really appreciate is, like, are we like the author here, or authors, right? Are we going back to God?
Mm-hmm.
Do I long for, would I describe my longing for God, thirsting for it, like a thirsty animal?
Yeah.
Right? That's dependent on it to live. This is not just, well, I could go for a ice cream float right now. And no, I need water. I'm going to die without it.
Right.
Or do I, when I'm feeling lost or desperate or troubled, do I think, okay, if I can just make a little bit more money, everything's going to be okay. Or if I can just get so-and-so to do something, if just this one thing can go my way, then everything's going to be okay. But where is it that we're leaning for our sustenance, for our trust, for our salvation, for our well-being? And it's helpful that these psalms are written in a way that the problem of the psalm is applicable to us. Like, we can read it. Like, all right, so, you know, we were talking about maybe if this had been written by David, what would you be talking about? Well, of course it fits because it's written generically enough to fit to everyone. But it's not just the problems. The solution is also universal.
Right.
And we need to make sure that we're, like, when we read this, like, oh, am I thirsting
mm-hmm.
for God in this same?
So you could kind of compare negative and positive energy. You can take that negative energy, being in doubt, not knowing what to do, and turn it into a positive energy, trying to find a solution, build your faith. But a lot of that comes from study and from prayer and from worship.
This bounces off a little bit what my dad was saying, but when I was reading this in my other Bible last night, it's my other Bible is formatted in a somewhat strange way, so I accidentally jumped in Psalm 42 from about verse 4
mm-hmm.
to the middle of Psalm 41 when he's talking about, like, I used to have my friends, but now they've betrayed me. They used to eat my bread, but now they want to kill me, or, you know, whatever all the things that he's saying. And then I realized after a minute I was reading the wrong psalm, but this whole idea of like, I used to have these friends, but now they betray me. I used to have friends that I worship God with, but now they betray me. And it just, it makes me think of Jesus. Like, these are your universal problems. And, you know, and I was thinking of this when Ms. Michelle was mentioning her struggles before. Like, no temptation is uncommon to man. Like, Jesus felt all these things and dealt with all these things because he had his friends betray him. Not only Judas, but everyone did at some point. And most of them came back, but Judas was the one who sold him and betrayed him in some ways most directly to his death and the others.
And that can be such an encouragement to know that, yeah, that there is a solution there. There is a strength there that we can rely on.
To Lee's comment earlier on the who penned, I just wanted to read from a commentary. So at the end of the day, there's the conclusion as to who is, but suggestions at least two. It says, possibly by David, when he was banished from the house of God, either by Saul's tyranny or by Absalom's rebellion, or by the sons of Korah in the time of the captivity of Babylon, when some read the words and title of the psalm. Mm-hmm. So no right or wrong.
If it's not by David, it's influenced by David. And if it's written in during the captivity, yeah, more so. Because, they're not at the temple. They remember the temple, or they remember what their fathers told them about the temple. But, they can look forward to that being rebuilt. Any other comments? April?
I've been thinking a lot about this, the verse that you mentioned. It comes up several times where the psalmist is grappling with how they're feeling. And it seems they're very real things. They're going for enemies and all these different things. But I just really appreciate that the psalmist answers their own soul by pointing to God.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that the psalmist doesn't just say, like, actually, everything's fine. I can just tough it out and ignore the problem. No, like, it is really hard. So, this, like Meredith said, he's coming to God. He's longing for God. But he doesn't just stay with where he feels. He answers it with what he knows. And I think it is important to grapple with how we feel, but then to not be led by just how we feel, but like, what can I tell myself? And I may still feel really low, but I can hang on to what I know about God.
Right.
And even if I'm still feeling low, but I know this, And if we can not be led by our feelings, even while we're feeling, but be led by the truth that we can tell ourselves that we know about God.
Yeah. And use that positive energy to grow. It's important. Lee?
Seeing that many things bother him. And if you start in verse 2, and that's the major one, his distance from home in the house of God. Okay? Taunting unbelievers. Somebody said, where is your God? Okay, that seems to be bothersome. I go back to verse 4. He just has memories of when he could go to the temple, when he could praise God and do these things. Again, I believe he's away from the temple. Could be wrong. And verse 9 seems to talk about God's slow response. And if I could just go over it real quick. Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? So it seems like at some point God has seemingly, in his mind, forgotten him.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be another reason for his depression, as we would call it.
Especially because in the case of captivity, God didn't desert them. They deserted him. That's the reason they were in captivity. That's the reason. And how many times had they abandoned God? Over and over and over. And finally, it happened. You got that. But they're asking the the right questions, but they also have to find the answer.
And they're saying, I will believe, hold on. Mm-hmm. I have hope.
Right.
Which I think is a better part of this song.
So I think, I really like the outline that Justin gave us. He's talking about, you know, what kind of story is this, and what kind of voices do you hear here? I think it's pretty obvious, but what is the psalmist saying? He's pleading to God for relief because he's in captivity, because he's fleeing Saul, whatever reason, he's pleading for God. And what do you think the voice of Jesus would say here? I think he's offering hope. He's offering relief. There's hope. Yeah, it's the hope of salvation. You know, what's going on here is painful. It's agonizing, but it's not nearly as important as what's happening in eternity, and to look forward to that. I think the individual can look at this and say, look, I know God is guarding me. He has a stronghold. He has the power to protect me. And as a congregation, I think we can use this to encourage each other. Just, you know, be in communication, but also be sensitive to what's going on in people's lives and encourage them. We need that every day. We need that every day. I'd like to make one other parallel here. Turn to James, chapter 1. And I'll read it starting in verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Unstable in all they do. I think another message is, I believe it's in 2 Peter, verse 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1. And I'm going to start reading in verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, you make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is just the opposite of what the world tells you. The world tells you that if you're having trouble, if you're having tribulation, something's wrong. You're not doing the right thing. And James says, no, take joy when you're in trials and tribulation. consider it a blessing that you were considered worthy of a trial and tribulation. Boy, that's just the opposite of what the world tells you. It should feel good. If you're not feeling good, you should change. And 2 Peter, I think these are called the Christian graces. To add knowledge, to virtue, to godliness, mutual affection, and love. So I think the final conclusion I have is that God is our source of strength, of safety, and salvation. Yes, you may be in having a tough time, but look to God. Look to your fellow Christians, and he's the source of it. Now, I'm going to pass these books back out.